That's why he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Let's take a text this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this morning we're going to talk about the Antichrist and the Mark of the Beast. And I've got two Bible studies right in the midst of this discussion right now. So I'm not going to apologize to you, but you're just going to get what you got the other night in Bible study. Maybe. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And let's look at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonder. Verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And verse 12, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This chapter is about the Antichrist and about the coming or emerging of the Antichrist. For several weeks now we've been talking about prophecy. Israel is in place. Jerusalem is Jewish. The Hebrew language has been resurrected. There is an army of 200 million east of the Euphrates. There is a dam at the headwaters of the Euphrates River. All of these things were spoken by prophets thousands of years ago. Russia is doing business with Iran. That they are in existence is fairly amazing. But they are in existence. They are enemies of Israel. And they are doing business together. It's just absolutely flabbergasting. And today all of these players are in place because the word of God said that they would be. And the same word that told us those things says that God's coming back, that there's going to be a resurrection, and that before that there's going to be a time of trouble like the world has never seen. And central to that time will be an individual that we call the Antichrist. And we'll be looking at him today. But in this reading, in our text, the Word of God is very clear that there will be a great delusion upon the earth. And the reason that the delusion can touch you is if you don't have a love for the truth. The inversion of that just simply means if I've got a romance with truth, that I'm inoculated against everything that Satan is going to try to do with this emerging Antichrist system. God bless you. You can be seated. If you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. Ah, we magnify you, Lord. We worship you. We lift you up. We're thankful, oh God, for your word today, for the privilege of handling it and loving it and knowing it. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And the earthquakes just keep on piling up. And these, you can expect more of those and more intense ones. And you can expect tsunamis related with them or associated with them. Because this is what the Word of God has set in motion from 2,000 years ago. And these things are happening because the Word of God is inescapable. When God speaks it, it actually comes to pass. It's going to happen. Now, I can't tell you if the U.S. government will survive. I can't tell you that our economy will survive. I can't tell you that your job will survive. I can't tell you anything about this natural, secular world. But I can tell you that what is spoken in this Word is going to come to pass. And Jesus said you need to build your house upon the Word of God. It's like building it upon a stone or a solid rock foundation. And this morning we're glad to be able to handle the Word of God in troublesome times and in prophetic days. We're glad to be able to handle the Word of God and have calm assurance in the midst of what is an ever-growing storm all around us. And we are very sheltered and very insulated here in the United States. But this thing is really cranking up. The prophecies are being fulfilled on every hand. And this person that we're going to talk about today is central to all of those things. Clay, let's start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 1. And we're just going to do an exposition here of the first few verses of this chapter. This is one of the introductory discussions of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be Satan in a man, just like Jesus was God in a man. And he is going to attempt to become the Messiah that the world responds to, and he's going to attempt to overthrow God. Now, I know that you think that that's impossible, that anybody would be that mentally deficient, but he really believes. Satan is a true believer today. He believes he can overthrow God, and he believes that he can overthrow you. He believes he can destroy your home. He believes he can steal your joy. He believes that he can cause you to be distracted and follow after other things and lose your soul. He really does believe. That's why he gets up every morning, puts on his boots just like you, punches in on the time clock just like you, and goes to work. And his work is to steal and kill and destroy. And he is going to manifest in the body of a man and become a prominent political, military, religious leader in these last days. Let's start in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering unto him. God is coming and we are going. Those two things are already settled in the Word of God. You can't stay here. Whatever you've built and whatever you have here, you can't stay here. God's coming back and we're leaving this place. So you need to make plans for that. Verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Paul speaks of this as a singular day. The coming of the Lord and our gathering together unto him. You might have heard and you might think that there's going to be a secret catching away of the church. And then in later years, God will return to the earth. But the apostles didn't know anything about that. There's a lot of things that are held as truth by modern Christianity that the apostles don't know anything about at all. And so here Paul says, that day, the coming of the Lord and our gathering unto him, that singular day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And that is, that falling away is from a root word about apostasy or apostasia. It is the losing of your fervor and your zeal for God. When Israel was worshiping the gods of the Philistines or the Canaanites, they were in apostasy. When Christians by name are worshiping the things of the world and false ideas and man-made theologies and doctrines, then they are in apostasy. And so when you have some truth or and you back away from that truth and you begin to do otherwise with it, then you're in that apostasy. So before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a great falling away. Well, I believe all you have to do is look out your window and you can see that pretty readily right now. Do you sense that there is a great falling away in our world right now? That people are losing their faith and losing their way? Bulletin. Two kids got the Holy Ghost in Sunday school just now. Praise God. That's worth interrupting for. That's worth interrupting for. Clay, we're coming back to Thessalonians, but give me 2 Timothy chapter 3. My wife is usually the one that has pollen problems and allergy problems, and I hate to be sniffing at you all morning, but it looks like that's going to be the condition of this service, so I'm ready. And I'm going to sneeze at you a time or two probably. And my nose is, it's like something needs to be scratched right up in there. And I can't get to, she's been telling me about this for years, but I never experience it. So, if my behavior gets a little peculiar, it is in large part due to that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just want to give you a brief generalized overview of the end time. This is from the Apostle Paul. And as I tick these off in this list, I want you to think about, is that our day? Now, it may be that there were many days that could relate to this list, but Israel was not in the land. The army of 200 million was not in place. The headwaters of the Euphrates River were not dammed off. And mankind didn't have the power to kill a third of the world's population in one fell stroke. Do you know the next major prophetic event that's going to take place is the sixth trump? And if, as you read the sixth trump, it is just impossible to mistake that for anything other than a nuclear event. And with that kind of a body count, that's going to obviously involve China and perhaps India. And it is going to change the dynamic of the whole world. And that could happen at any time. Probably the next thing that we don't see as prophecy is going to be Israel attacking Iran, because Iran has developed nuclear capacity to the point that they're ready to develop a deliverable nuclear weapon, and Netanyahu and Israel, they're not going to allow that to happen. And the United States at this point doesn't seem dispositioned toward anything other than talk and sanctions. And Ahmadinejad says, I love the sanctions. It makes us strong. You see, when we were dealing with the Soviet Union and with the other nuclear powers back in the Cold War, we had a thing called mutually assured destruction, so that if you bomb me, I bomb you, we all die, so where's the gain? And nobody did anything. We were safe. But now with the Islamics and the radicals, they think dying is a one-way ticket into paradise. They want to do that. They believe chaos and total upheaval and catastrophe is the way to usher in the 12th caliphate or the 12th imam. And they are working on that right now. And they think if they strap a bomb on and come and blow you up, that that's a good thing, a healthy thing, a functional thing. You see, the world's not like it used to be. Everything's changed. And right now, we've got a developing nuclear power in the Middle East, and Israel's not going to let them. What will everyone else do? Because Russia is in contract with Iran. And China has been a friend of Iran for a long, long time. So you don't know what's going to spark that sixth trump. But friend of mine, this is a day to be ready with God. I can't guarantee you that you're not going to get hit by a bus on the way out of here today. I can't guarantee you your individual safety or longevity. But in terms of prophecy, we are down at the end of this age. You need to have your house in order. But let's just look at this brief overview. 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, dangerous times shall come, perilous times. Would you consider that the days we're living in are dangerous times? Men, verse 2, shall be lovers of their own selves. How's that look? Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know, a mama dog will fight you over her babies. But we've got federally funded, state-operated slaughter shops that murder millions of babies every year. Without natural affection. And our whole national system walks and does business every day without just tearing its garments and screaming in horror and rage that is happening. The most dangerous place for a baby in this country is in its mother's womb. This is not a political statement. This is a moral statement. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, from such turn away. This list has always resonated with me that we are in the day that Paul was foretelling. Now, let's go back to 2 Thessalonians here, chapter 2. And the discussion is the coming of the Lord and our gathering unto him. And let's start in verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This tells us that you are going to see the Antichrist and you're going to know who he is if you are in covenant with God and have a love for the truth. If you don't, you'll see him, but you won't know who he is. You'll think he's who he's telling you he is. And so the man of sin is going to be revealed. This is who he is. Verse 4. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Have you noticed that there's a tremendous public upheaval in the Western world against God? They want to take God out of the school. They want to take God off the dollar. They want to take God out of the pledge. They want to take God out of the textbooks. They want you to believe that you come from a monkey. So, but rational people sit and they say, well, but we did come from monkeys. The delusion is already at work. And you have to have a romance with the truth. He's going to exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple. There will be a rebuilt temple. Not only can you look for the arising of the Antichrist, but you can also look for the rebuilding of the temple. Back in the days of Saddam Hussein's invasion of Kuwait, there was a major riot in Jerusalem on a morning. I woke up to my clock and the news was on, and it was telling me that a group of Hasidic Jews or temple faithful Jews had gotten a cherry picker, and they had a cornerstone, and they were making their way up these little alleys and back streets toward the Dome of the Rock and the Temple Mount, and they were about to set a cornerstone. It caused a firestorm among the Arabs, and there was riots in the city of Jerusalem. All of that kind of got buried under Saddam's invasion of Kuwait and the first Gulf War. But I'm telling you right now, there are people in Israel that are ready to lay that cornerstone. They already have the priesthood in place. They have all the implements in place. They even have the mandatory red cow that is required for the inauguration of the temple. It's called the red heifer. There has to be a sacrifice. They bought them from a farmer in Mississippi, and he happened to be an apostolic. And now they have their own second and third generation red heifers. I'm telling you, they are ready to go. This temple is going to happen because the word of God says that it's coming. This man is going to emerge because the word of God says that he's going to emerge. Let me show you who he is. Isaiah chapter 14. Brother Clay, you're going to get a workout today, my friend. Isaiah 14. And this is a description of the fall of Lucifer in the Old Testament. Isaiah 14, begin with verse 12. Isaiah 14 and 12. And you'll see and hear here the attitude of the Antichrist. This is what propels him. And this is his MO or his mindset. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I'll ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. This is what Jesus was talking about when he told Satan, when he told his disciples, I saw Satan cast as the lightnings. I saw him fall as lightning from heaven. Satan was cast out. He's in the earth today. Does anybody doubt it? And he is seeking to set up a kingdom that he can rule over and overthrow God from that platform. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. He's going to sit in the temple and show that he is God. Verse 5, Paul says, remember now, I've told you about this before. Verse 6, now you've got to know that something is withholding him. God has a structure in place, perhaps a great archangel holding him back. But there's going to come a day when God's going to say, release him and let him do and work his plan. Verse 7, the mystery of iniquity already works. Only he who restrains will restrain until he be taken out of the way. So there's something holding this Antichrist system back. In all the major empires of the world, you had something spiritual driving those empires to conquer the world. And at every turn, they were turned aside or they were defeated by someone else. But this time, this major military political entity is going to emerge and it's going to overrun and take control of the whole world. The Bible tells us so. Then, verse 8, then the wicked one will be revealed, that the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. There won't be a great cosmic war. When God returns, the enemy, the false prophet, the Antichrist, and all the armies are going to be destroyed at Armageddon. So this is something that's already accomplished. And you don't need to be afraid of this. You just need to be prepared for this. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. He'll be empowered by Satan and he'll have supernatural power, supernatural signs. God will allow him to work those so that he can deceive people who don't love the things of God and don't love the word of God. Verse 10, all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Who's going to believe him? Those that are perishing. Because why are they perishing and why are they deceived? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. What is the truth? The truth is not a church creed. The truth is not a church doctrine. The truth is the word of God. I'm just telling you today, the only thing that's going to save you in this end time is a love for the word of God. This is not a day to edit the word of God. This is not a day to cherry pick the advice of God. This is a day to open up your heart and your home and your life and receive what thus saith the word of God. This is the only antidote. This is the only safe place. This is the only place that's a sure foundation. Everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Only that is solidly on the word of God is going to last through this end time period. My God, is there anybody in this house that really loves the word of God? Is there anybody here that loves the truth? Do you want to hear what God has to say? And would you like God to be involved in your life and in your home? Well, praise God. We've got a love for the truth, and we really do want God to have his way. We want God to speak his mind. Praise God. I want God to tell me exactly what he thinks. Praise God. If I'm wrong, I want to know about it now. I don't want to know about it when I'm standing at the judgment. If I need to change, I want to know about it now. I don't want to know when I'm standing in front of the judgment. And the only thing then is a perfunctory ruling upon my life. And I don't have any hope of being with God forever. But I'm going to go into a place that was prepared for the devil and his angels. My God, if there's something I need to know, I want to know it now. If I need to be baptized, I want to get it done now. If I need to get the Holy Ghost, I want to get it now. If I need to change my life, I want to change it now. If you have plans to live for God, you need to do it now. If you have plans to come back from your backslidden state, you need to do it now. If you have plans to develop a prayer life, you need to do it now. If you have plans to have a Bible study, you need to do it now. If you ever thought, well, one day I'll get the Holy Ghost, you need to get that Holy Ghost right now. Well, praise God. The only thing that's going to save me is a love for the truth. And that's a romance that has to start right now. Verse 11, this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Well, I thought this was about the Antichrist. Well, it is about the Antichrist. Well, yeah, but that says God is going to delude them, or God is going to send them a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie and be damned. I thought God was Santa Claus. I thought God loved everybody. I thought God only did good things. And here the word of God is saying God's going to. But you know how this works. You know what this is about? This is about God says no, but you want to do it anyway. God says you don't live together without being married. God says you can't be a homosexual and be right with God. God says you can't run around with everybody else's husband and everybody else's. God says all that stuff. But you want to do that so badly that you resist and you resist and you resist. And all you got to do is read Romans chapter 1, and all this is very, very plain. Well, one day God just goes, and you don't have any more conscience. You don't have any more compunction. And when somebody addresses you about it, you say, well, I don't feel convicted about this. Because, and if I, surely if it was wrong, God would convict me. And so you don't work by the information you get from your heart or even your mind. Both of those entities are liars. You work according to what thus saith the word of God. And if God's word says you better stay home and stay faithful to your wife, you better do it. You hear me? Listen. Do you have a gun? A pot of hot water will do. You do what the word of God says. Praise God. Because as you resist it, and here in the end time, you have a whole world system. A whole world system that's believing in other gods, that's following after other things, that detests the word of God. And ultimately, God's, you've resisted and you've resisted and you've resisted. And God's going to go, whew. And when the Antichrist stands, you're going to go, oh, he's so wonderful. He's so beautiful. And the apostolics are going to be saying, you're nuts. You're nuts. Don't do that. Don't go there. And you're going to say, oh, look at what he's doing and listen to what he's saying. He's so wonderful. He's the answer to all of our problems. He's going to heal all the sick, and he's going to fix all the roads, and he's going to, I mean, this guy's going to be a superpower. He's going to take care of everything. And people are going to just fall in. They just want somebody that'll take care of them. They want a paternal figure in their life, which is what God wants to be. But what you want is a paternal figure that's all candy and ice cream and no rule and law and razor strap. That's what you want. But if he loves you, he's going to discipline you. Well, praise God. Everybody that's glad you had a mama or a daddy that wore you out when you needed it said amen. Now, how many of you loved it then? Well, see, the Bible talks about that. Paul says, no chastisement, no chastening is pleasant at the time. It's like, we don't like it. But then, as we're older, we say, oh, yeah, that was good. That was good for me. And your kids are saying, you don't really believe that. You're just justifying whipping your kids. That's what you're doing. But if you're going to have a relationship with God or the Word of God, there is a side of the Word of God that is the hard hand of discipline, who says, this is the way, walk ye in it. We live in a pseudo quasi non-biblical Christian age, which has allowed everything. Do you hear me? They are protecting pedophiles. The Pope knew about pedophilia and moved them to another location and protected them. But I'll go beyond that. The politicians in the area knew too. And nobody did anything about it. And in some, they're ordaining homosexuals to bishop positions and cardinal. Well, where does that start? Well, that starts with first saying the homosexuals can be saved and still practice homosexuality. Don't misunderstand me. Homosexuals can be saved. Adulterers can be saved. Alcoholics can be saved. People with any type of sinful condition in their life can be saved, but you got to stop the sin. You got to cut out all the nonsense. You got to bring your life into alignment and compliance. I'm forgetting myself. We're supposed to be talking about prophecy today, and somebody's sitting here saying, I came because they were going to do prophecy, and here they are But let me finish this. They're ordaining homosexuals. How does that start? That starts by saying homosexuals can be saved. Well, if they can be saved, then they can be placed in any position. They can be Pope. Papa. There's three papas. One's your dad, one's the Pope, and one's a potato, and I never can get the accent right. That's right. What's a potato? Papa. And what's your dad? And what's the Pope? It all sounds the same to me. So if you have a love for the truth, then you're inoculated against this Antichrist system. Do you have a serious desire to really know what's going on and not fall into that trap? Praise God. To fall in love with somebody, you have to spend time with them. To fall in love with the Word of God, you have to spend time with the Word of God. You can't just say, oh, well, I love. I mean, you can go to a bar room today and if they're open today, I don't know. But you can go to a bar room today and you can sit down by any drunk on the bar stool and say, do you love God? And they'll, drunk as Cooter Brown, and they'll tell you, I love God. I do. I love God. And there's some preacher down the road that'll say, well, he's saved. He loves God. Now, you don't love God if you don't. The Bible. Here you are. So what's the problem being a fundamentalist? Fundamentalist believes the Bible. And so the Bible says that if you love him, you keep his commandments. So, but you can't know, you can't love someone without knowing them. You have to spend time with them. You have to get to know them, which to all of our little teeny boppers, I say, fellowship in big, safe groups so that you don't get your heart involved and say, I'm in love, but you're not. You got bricks for brains. You don't know him. You don't know her. You're going to get messed up. And I don't even have to go afterwards, because 6 months, a year later, I don't have to go knock on the door and say, still love him? Well, I didn't know he was like that. Well, you can't know God unless you spend time. You need a home Bible study. You need to let us come to your home and open up a big chart and a Bible study and help you to get started in your romance with God. Okay, let's look at Revelation 13 and we'll let you go to Kentucky Fried or wherever you're going. Revelation 13 and verse 1. In this chapter, there is a beast that is a national or multinational conglomerate. And then there's a beast who is the false prophet. And then there's the beast that is the Antichrist himself. All three of these are going to be destroyed. Chapter 19 tells you that the false prophet and the Antichrist are cast into the lake of fire. So chapter 13, verse 1, I stood upon the sand of the sea. This is the Apostle John, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads, 10 horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. This is an identical description to a description of Satan in chapter 12. So we know who this is and what the power of this multinational entity is. Verse 2, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. His mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his great power, his seat, and his great authority. Now, the dragon is identified in chapter 12 as the devil. So this multinational group, and it really is looking like it's going to be a United Nations effort, is going to be driven by the power of Satan. Now, you know, these are the kind of comments that would just get you really a lot of laughter in intellectual circles. Right. The United Nations is the puppet of the devil. You know, they just don't warm up to that discussion at all. Right. But the Bible says that this multinational entity, verse 2, he's made up of a leopard, which is Germany, a bear, which is Russia, speaks with the mouth of a lion, which is the English language, because the lion is England. And I'm sorry, I can't go back and reestablish all this. We've worked on it here in the last couple of weeks. But that is a pretty good picture of the United Nations as it is today. Verse 3, one of the heads was wounded as unto death. This is that Berlin Wall that's divided East and West Berlin and the nation of Germany. Ever since the Second World War, the discussion was, how do you keep Germany from rising into power again and becoming a conqueror again? Well, you divide her. And that worked fine until Reagan told Gorbachev, tear down this wall. And he did. Did you know Irvin Baxter wrote a book 5 years before the wall came down and used the word of God to prove that the Berlin Wall was going to fall down and Germany would be reunited? The title of the book is A Message to the President, and he prophesied. I'm telling you, Irvin Baxter is not like Nostradamus. Nostradamus is a familiar spirit. He's a wannabe, but Irvin Baxter is a prophet of God. And he said, by the word of God, the Berlin Wall is going to come down. Germany will be reunited. And this is the Germany that you read about in this Antichrist system. And lo and behold, 2010, and we're sitting here today with a reunified Germany. And we're sitting with a United Nations that's driven by the very powers that the Word of God spoke of 2,000 years ago. Verse 4, they worshiped the dragon, which is the devil, gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like him, and who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. That's the latter half of the 7-year period of the great tribulation. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He sounds just like Daniel's description of the little horn in the prophecies of Daniel about this same Antichrist period. And it was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given to him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is going to be a worldwide force. Now, whether or not it'll rule or even matter down in the jungles of Ecuador and down in the Amazon Valley and some central places in prehistoric Africa, I don't know. I don't even know if it'll get to Mississippi. But you may find out that it's localized in the Middle East or in Europe. But it's going to be quite a huge enterprise. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So who's going to worship him? Who's going to believe him? Those that don't have their names written in the Lamb's book. Is there anybody here today that has your name written in the Lamb's book of life? I'm telling you, that's precious to you now. But the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, ah, how much more precious this is going to be to you. Everybody on the earth is going to worship him whose names are... here it is again. If you love the truth, you're inoculated. If you've got your name in the Lamb's book of life, you're inoculated. You're going to see him. You're going to know the day, and you're going to know who he is. And because of that, you're going to get to make a choice. Verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. And this is that little warning that you get through the parables and the gospels and all through the word of God. He said, are you listening to me? Can you hear what I'm telling you? Verse 13, and I'm for the sake of time going to move over the rising up of the individual that is the Antichrist and simply say, verse 13, he doeth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He's going to have tremendous and astounding power. And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he has power to do in the sight of the beast. Saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. This is not just going to be governmental and political and military. This is going to be theological and spiritual. Before it's over, he's going to demand worship. You're seeing this type of thing arise in the Middle East right now. All of their social, political, secular, military operations, everything they do is oriented around the theological and the spiritual. And it's going to be that way in this end time circumstance. And in verse 15, he had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, I want you to understand this. Have you followed so far that everybody's going to worship him except those that have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Everybody's going to be deluded except those that love the truth. And here he says he's going to cause everybody that doesn't worship the image to be killed. Well, guess who that might be? Probably those that love the truth and those that have their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which kind of strongly indicates to me that the church is going to be here during all of this time of upheaval, because everybody else is going to be following blindly after the beast. So this sets up the scenario that very clearly indicates that the church is still going to be in the earth. If anybody told you other than this, you're going to be disappointed. I have a theory about pre-tribulation rapture position, that the closer we get to the rapture, the fewer of those people there are going to be. And he causes all, Brother Cedric, you read the book about Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, and they said, well, you may throw us in the furnace, but either way, we won't bow down to your stinking image. That's a paraphrase. You believe that? Do you feel energetic when you read that? Do you think you could make that choice? Do you think he could make that choice for you? Well, he may not be bowing down, but hold on a minute here. Now, everybody's going to have to make that same decision. But do you think that you could stand with Shadrach? I mean, when you see this coming down, it's going to be so very, very plain. We are standing right in the pages of the Word of God. I mean, supernatural things on every side, and this is going to be a wonderful trip, even if we get our heads cut off. That's why holiness is so important. That's why separation is so important. That's why being different is so important. That's why not following after them is so important. Because if we're habituated to walk after them, we're going to fall into the same trap they fall into. If our lifestyles are like their lifestyles, we can't please God. Brother Cedric, did he leave? Oh, there you are. My God, I'm finding another church. These people are talking about dying for this. I just wanted to go to heaven and get my bills paid. So here's the church. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, verse 16, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. When you go home today, pull up Digital Angel or Verichip or Personal Identity, I think it is. They are business entities that produce injectable chip systems. They're being used in veterinarian offices all over. My vet has, in all of his little exam rooms, he has posters on the wall in every one of them that advertise you chipping your dog. And it's great because they GPS the dog. They know where he is. And when they come in, all they got to do is, and they know all about his shots and his medical history and everything. And if you had that, they could do that too. And all you'd have to do, it's on the back of your right hand or on your forehead. And when you go to Walmart, all you got to do is, did it. But if it's like my cards, it'd be, did it, did it, did it. And the lady would rub you with a plastic bag and then try it again. And sometimes I try that. I use this quite a bit at the checkout counters. But people aren't really all that. They don't think it's that funny. But you got to get on the winning side of this. You really do. You got to get on the side of this where you can just laugh about it and say, deadly, seriously, if I have to, I'll lay down my life. But I'm not going to take something that ties me to a system that doesn't believe in God. But today, on their websites, you can apply to get your own chip. It's coming to the military. It's coming to the practice of chipping elders so that we don't lose them. And it makes so much sense to chip your children. Is there a baby in the house? No. Oh. But I know where she is. I can follow her on my iPhone. I know exactly where she is. Think about chips on your teenagers. You don't say, where were you tonight? Because you know where they were. I mean, this is great technology. And it makes perfect sense. The craziest thing is that we wind up in the same corner with the ACLU. First time in history. Because the ACLU says, no, no, no. There's too much potential there to control and jeopardize and violate your rights, your personal liberties. And they're not in favor of it, but that's exactly where it's going. And the Bible says no man might buy or sell that didn't take the mark. It's the number of a man, the number of his name. And I don't think the first generation will be anything but just a secular, economic, financial decision. You know, it's just a chip, just like the Social Security card you're carrying in your pocket. But I've already crossed the line in my mind. I'm not taking it, regardless of what it is. Because I don't have enough sense to know what's in it. And I don't feel real good about them knowing where I am all the time. I don't know what you can do with that. But see, this is not, and some people are afraid, well, can they make you take the mark of the beast? Well, see, the whole of the kingdom of God swings on the hinge of personal will and decision. You live for God because you want to live for God. You serve God because you choose to serve God. And see, that's what the devil has to have. That's what he wants. He wants your will. And so he'll threaten you with death, but they won't force you to take the mark. But they will cut your head off over it. And he causes all. Go to the next one. Verse 17. That no man might buy or sell, they're going to coerce you and go to the next one. It's the number of a man. You can't buy or sell. Go to Revelation 20 in verse 4, and we're about to quit here. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. I'm down in the body of it. I saw souls of them that were beheaded for what? For the witness of Jesus and for the word of God and for they wouldn't worship the beast nor they wouldn't worship his image and they wouldn't take the stinking mark. We don't have time today, but I have three selections that I can read for you where everybody that takes the mark is going to not only have plagues during the end time period, but they're also going to be lost and go to a place, the Bible says, they have no rest day or night. The smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever. Whosoever takes the mark. And after the end of that, it says, and here is the patience and the faith of the saints. He said, you need to listen to this and you need to understand. It's a bad end for everybody that takes the mark. But here we see the church in the end time with their head on the block. Because they won't take the mark. Because they understand. The whole world is following after. Now, this is quite a choice I've given you today. You can follow after the Antichrist system and be lost and lose your soul. Or you can follow after God and lose your head. But this is not a difficult decision to make. This is a simple decision to make. How many of you know it's better to die for God because Paul said to live is Christ, but to die is gain. How many of you read, well, let's just read the end of it. And what's the last line say? They did what? What school did you go to? How did they live without a head? And how did you know who they were without a head? They lived and they reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is a real confusing book. No, not at all. Because the devil can't kill what God has given life to. And the devil can't take from you something God has promised you. And the world can't deny you. And the hell can't stop you. Somebody say praise the Lord. So we've already made up in our mind. But listen, if you're in the house today and you're a backslider, I would strongly recommend that you make your way down to this altar this morning. If you're in the house and you've never received the Holy Ghost, you need to come and be born again of the water and of the Spirit today. You don't need to wait another day. This Antichrist system is already moving in the earth. The nations are in place. Israel is there. Everything is ready. We're just waiting now for those last few events, the trumps to sound, the plagues to start. The disintegration of everything in this earth is already underway. The very earth itself is groaning to be clothed with its new creation. Let's stand together. Praise God. Glory to God. If you have the Holy Ghost, and if you've got your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and if you love the truth, I want you to just begin to give God praise for that today, for a safe place in Goshen, for a safe place that God has given you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Come stand with them, church. Come with these that are coming. Come on, if you want to come receive the Holy Ghost, come right now. If you want to come be inoculated against what's about to happen in this world, come right now. All over the house, church, you're talking in tongues, you're praising, you're praying. God, make a way. Hallelujah. In the name above every name. When you get down to this altar, lay your hand on somebody or take somebody by the hand. Church, somebody can get the Holy Ghost here this morning. Somebody can go down in the water in Jesus' name right here. Somebody, come on.
I will pray.
Come on, draw close.